Good morning. I was reading something this morning from the book The Mystical Eye by Joel Goldsmith, and the chapter Impersonalizing God. And it fascinated me. It brought my thought to a standstill. It brought my mind to a silence. And it says this: when we impersonalize God, then our prayers will not be a mental activity. Think of that. Think of the just how outstanding that is, just how deep that is. When we impersonalize God, then our prayers will not be a mental activity. And so I started looking at that. It just brought me to a standstill. All I could do was look at that sentence as it began to unfold from within. And wow. You know, we've talked now for a couple of years, if not more, of rising out of mind, out of the letter, and into spirit, into awareness. And here he says, when you impersonalize God, your prayers will not be a mental activity. And so when you impersonalize God, you will step out of the mind. How does that work? What does that mean? Well, he says on the page before this, God is being, not a being. In fact, the personalization of spirit is the veil. In other words, it came to me that personalizing God is the belief in good and evil. Well, then what does that mean to personalize God? What does it mean to impersonalize God? He says on the next page, when God has been completely impersonalized, omnipresence will be a real realization. It will be a deep inner realization. When God has been thoroughly impersonalized, omnipresence will be an experience. I have God as omnipresence only if I am omnipresence. Now that's only less than three paragraphs out of this chapter from this book, and yet it brought my mind to a standstill. It really did. Because it came to me, if you have a personal God, then you are stuck in the mind. If you have a personal God, in other words, there's you, and you pray to God, an infinite being. You pray to God, an immortal being. Well, that sounds right, doesn't it? God is an infinite being. What's wrong with that? Well, if God is an infinite being, where are you? What are you? You see, if you have a God and a you, you're in the mind. If you have a personal God, a God of your understanding, and you, you're standing in the mind. And that mind contains the belief, or is the belief, in good and evil. Now, we go around a lot. Perhaps we say to ourselves in our meditations, I and the Father are one. But that's not an inner experience. That's a statement. It's emanating from this mind, which is personalizing God and personalizing a me, personalizing an I. And so we have an I and a Father. And we say that I and this Father are one. I and the infinite God are one. But while you're saying that, your experience is of two, because that's emanating out of the mind of two, out of the mind of duality, out of the belief in good and evil. You see, if you have God as a being, then you have God and you. You have perfection and imperfection. You have God and man, God and woman. You have God and this world. You have God and the human mind. And so that's called personalizing God. We have to impersonalize God, and then our prayers will no longer be a mental activity. Well, how does that work? Why is that so? I don't understand. Well, he says, we must make no mental effort to reach God. We are already one with the Father. Now, what if we read this way? We must make no mental effort to reach God. We are already one Father. We must make no mental effort to reach God. We are already Father. That's no different than what he said on the next page, where he said, I have God as omnipresence only if I am omnipresence. And so impersonalizing God and impersonalizing ourselves means coming out of the mind. Again, we started with, when we impersonalize God, then our prayers will not be a mental activity. You see, if you have a personal God that you pray to, even a personal Father and you, then you have the belief that you have to reach out to this God. There's perfection, which is good, and there's you, which is lacking, which is bad. Do you see, this is the belief in good and evil? This is the veil. On this path, called the infinite way, we must let everything we thought we ever knew fall away in order to come to what Joel calls the experience, to experience God ising. We have to get rid of, let go of, drop the belief in a personal God. And that's the same experience that prompted Mary at the tomb to say, where have you taken my Lord? Listen to this. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, what do you know so far? What is this saying? This is saying they went to the tomb. What is the tomb? What is the tomb in which Christ is buried? think about it now. I will tell you that the mind is the tomb. Because, he says, when we impersonalize God, our prayers will not be a mental activity. So we come within to have a meditation, and we're standing before the tomb. And we think that Christ is buried somewhere down in that personal mind. And there's a personal mind, and there's a Christ somewhere. And there's a personal self, and there's a God somewhere. If only I could reach God, everything would be better. So we're standing in the tomb of two. And we're looking for Christ. And they were afraid, and they bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, the angels said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. This is what happens in your inner chamber. Eventually you reach the place where God says unto you, which is an angel, that voice, that movement of spirit, says to you, it is I. Why are you seeking among the dead? And if you have ears to hear, you realize that God cannot be reached through mental activity. That's seeking the living among the dead. That mind and everything in it is dead. Even the God that you laid in it carefully. You built it. Piece upon piece. Concept upon concept. Even your walk through truth, you built a God. And you laid it in that tomb gently. And you go there and you look for it in a certain place on your journey. And you're met instead with the word of God, and it says unto you, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And it befuddles you. Like I said, I read this morning and my mind came to a standstill. Wait, when we impersonalize God, our prayers are no longer a mental activity. When we impersonalize God, impersonalize ourselves, our prayers are not in the mind. When we impersonalize God, impersonalize ourselves, our prayers are an inner experience. Now, again, God is being, but not a being. If you have a being, a God, a spirit, a Christ, and you have not impersonalized God. You have not impersonalized self. The entire Christ mission, the entire Christ activity, the entire Christ being is impersonal. And it must be not a thought, but an experience. So, having a personal sense of God or a personal sense of self is the belief in good and evil. That's the veil. He says here, the personalization of spirit is the veil. What's the veil? The veil is that which covers the experience. Covers, well, it's the stone in front of the tomb. And yet, these people in this story, which came to the sepulchre, they found the stone rolled away. and they entered in. Then they found the shining angel, which said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." And I submit to you that in a certain place on this path, you come face to face with the fact that your God is not alive, it's dead. And you come face to face with the fact that that God upon which you relied, the God separate from you, the God that you prayed up to or even within to, must be crucified. Must be impersonalized. Then you can enter in and you can be instructed by the voice of God, by the angel of God. Then you will be told, every one of us will be told, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Why are you still personalizing God? Step out of that mental activity. Make no mental effort to reach God. You are already one with the Father. You are the Father. God, omnipresence. I, omnipresence. One, omnipresence." So can you see how, when I read this morning, how just incredibly wonderful it was? Just two pages out of the Mystical Eye, and just two paragraphs, and just two sentences. God is being, not a being. The personalization of spirit is the veil. When we impersonalize God, then our prayers will no longer be a mental activity. It's beautiful. It's wonderful because it's telling us how to commune with that risen Christ. Now, the risen Christ is the experience of Christ, your Christ identity, your Father identity, your God identity. It is time in your journey to bury these concepts of God, no matter how wonderful they've been through the years. They prevent you from the experience of the living. While you entertain them and pray up to them and have no answers, you are the walking dead. Yet all the time, I within you says, "He's not here." This should bring you to a place where your mind comes to a standstill. And there is no more mind there, no more personal mind, no more personal self, no more personal God, no more mental activity. And in the silence from a personal self, I reveal myself, the infinite self, the only self. And we hear within, "It is I. Be not afraid. I am the life. I. You cannot understand I. You will never draw pictures of I. You will never make concepts of I. And yet, when there is no more mental activity, I will live you. I am the life. Come unto me. Die to the personal sense. Impersonalize. And behold, I come quickly. To those who do this, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, the hidden identity. Listen again to what you've probably heard so many times you think you already know it. But realize now that this is identity speaking. This is the angel in the tomb speaking of the living. In the beginning was the Word, I. And I was with God, and I was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by I. And without I was not anything made that was made. In I was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the tomb, in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Why are you seeking I in the tomb, in the mental activity? The light, or I, was in the world, and the world was made by I, and the world knew I not. And I come unto my own, and my own receive I not. But as many as receive I, to them give I power to become the living sons of God, even to them that believe on I, which are born now not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of mind, but of I. And I am made flesh and dwell among you. And we behold the glory of I, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you not see the marvelous treasure that is not buried in the tomb of mental activity, but is born as an activity of I, living you? Impersonalize God. Impersonalize self. No more mental activity born from the belief in good and evil, in God and you. Only one thing now remains, that you die to all of that. Become silent. A new silence, a silence from a personal God, from a personal self, an impersonal silence of being. And behold, I come quickly. And behold, I make all things new. And behold, I am the New Jerusalem. Let us be still now before this temple, for the tomb of mental activity has been transcended, and he is risen. And I stand before the temple of the living God, and I listen, and I behold, I am the Father. Thank you. Peter, representing the human mind, says, Lord, show us the Father. And the Father speaking as Christ says, O Peter, have I been so long a time with thee, and thou hast not known me? And the angel says to you, He is not here. He is risen. And the living says to you, I am here, right here. Have I been here all this time and you never realized? I? Be still. Rest from a personal God. Rest from a personal self. And behold, I make all things new. Yes, I am the way. I am the supply. I am the companion. I am the life. And when the mental activity, when the personal God and the personal self buries, is buried, then I am resurrected. I come in a moment you think not. And you take no thought. I am the way. I would like to share with you at this time parts of a couple of the letters received in Herb Fitch's exercise to write to the president. These are quite wonderful, and it shows that this group as a whole is making great progress. And this one says, Dear Mr. President, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Now, is that not what we just said? Cease ye from a personal sense of self. We have been seeing with our eyes and hearing with our ears and then commenting and reacting to what we see and hear. Stop it. This is exactly the same as stepping out of the tomb in which we think we will find the living. Stepping out of the mental activity, the human mind activity. We should be seeing with our inner eyes and hearing with our inner ears, with that Christ awareness that judges not by appearances. Then we will know that all of the sin, disease, death, lack, limitation, and chaos in the world today come for only one reason, sowing to the flesh. What does that mean? Now, we understand that a little differently, don't we? Sowing to the flesh does not mean going out and having a good time on Saturday night. Sowing to the flesh means having a personal sense of self anywhere and a personal God. You did not know personalizing God was sowing to the flesh, did you? And yet it is, because it's a part of the mental activity that creates this fleshly sense of world, of self. Yes, we should be seeing with our inner ears and hearing with our, or seeing with our inner eyes and hearing with our inner ears, with Christ's awareness. Yes, yes, yes. But he is not here. He is risen. And to come into that type of seeing and hearing is done only when the human mind is still, when there is no mental activity. Strange, isn't it? When there's no mental activity, God reveals itself. I reveal I. And so, yes. Further, this person says, how do we sow to the Spirit? Pray without ceasing. Be still and wait. This is prayer. But know what we're waiting for. And that's to feel me stirring, fizzing, tingling inside of you. Me is the activity of Christ. Yes, the activity of the living. When you rise out of that tomb and there is no mental activity and you are still and waiting upon I, then I take over. And that's expressed and felt as a stirring, a tingling, a fizzing, a movement, an activity of Christ, of I. And so this person says, Mr. President, this is the ultimate truth. There's nothing left to teach. Come, follow me. Do not follow Adam and Eve, who ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and were expelled from the garden. Come, follow me. Follow me. And this is what we are saying in this talk today. Do not follow this mental activity, this personal God. Do not pray to this personal God, because it's only praying to a belief. Praying to a belief doesn't work. It's a mental activity. Ah, but says Joel, when you impersonalize God, then the mental activity stops, because you don't have a God and a you. You have I, living. You have the living I as an experience. And so that was one of the beautiful letters. And now let's look at a second one. And we won't read all of it, but just touching a few parts. It says, Dear Mr. President, the answer to every problem of sin, sickness, disease, or death is the same. All appearance is an image, an illusory fabric whose substance is a flimsy dream. Only one world seems evident to the human sense mind, and it is fed and maintained by our belief in a selfhood apart from God, which is another way of saying it is fed by our belief in a God apart from self. Think of the depth of that. If you have a God apart from self, a God apart from I, then you are standing in this duality. We have but one true objective, and that is to rise above and see through the sense illusions and all false concepts of people, place, things, and conditions. Isn't that fantastic? And how like the other letter this is. So this letter is saying that we must rise out of the tomb of sense illusions or false concepts of people. In other words, a person, a personal sense of self, a personal sense of God. And down here a little farther, it says to the president, call for me at any time or any place, and then listen within intently. This is praying without ceasing. Rest, relax, I will answer. Isn't that just fantastic? Isn't this beautiful? These two people are in entirely different parts of the country, of the United States, and yet the consciousness they are standing in, this New Jerusalem, is pretty much exactly the same, isn't it? It's wonderful. I find it fascinating. And so, both of these letters are suggesting that what the president and anyone else of us needs to do is to die to this personal sense of self, to go within, to step out of the tomb of mental activity or sense illusions, not pray to a personal God and not be a person praying, but stand so still that the living God, the living water, will be poured through us, as us, and I will stand revealed. The I that has stood at the door of consciousness almost seemingly forever, that I will take over and live itself as you. And then there will not be you and I, you and this I, you and a I. There will be I. Be not afraid, it is I. And I come quickly, and I come whose right it is to live. And I am the Son of God. And I and the Father are one, because I am Father. See how beautifully this all fits together? Now let us have a moment of silence and see what else there is before completing this talk. In order to impersonalize yourself, you're going to find you will have to impersonalize any such concepts as my supply, my companions, my health. Somehow, the grace will be granted to you to rise out of that tomb. You really believe you have buried him, the life that God is. You believe you've buried him into a tomb of humanhood. And this human is 60 years old. And this human is 40 years old. This human is 50, 70 years old. And this human is male. And this human is female. And this human has an education, and this human does not. And this human has skills, and this human is an artist. And this human is a mother, and this human is a father. And this human has children, and this human has parents. All of this is where you think you have laid the Christ. Inside of this tomb. Joel's start to his journey was the fact that he realized God is not in the human tomb and will never be. That human tomb in which you think you have cleverly buried the Son of God, behold, in the silence, angel speaks unto you and says, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And as you impersonalize God, there is not a God. There is I, God. And stand in the stillness, then the living God, the living I, reveals grace and truth and lives itself. And you have the power to become the Son of God. If you will receive I will live you. I will be you. And I will make all things new. Choose ye this day whom you will follow. As the letter said, will you follow the fleshly beliefs? Will you sow to the flesh? Will you know everyone as flesh? Or will you henceforth know no one after the flesh, not even self? Will you have no supply, no family, no companions? Will you have no health? Will you be animated as I, living, the living God? Will this be your realization, your experience? Come, behold, I am the way. Behold, I am the truth. Behold, I am the life. Again and again, I repeat, when we impersonalize God, our prayers will not be a mental activity. I must be that presence. But if I am going to have a God and a me, I am not impersonalizing, I am setting up a sense of duality. I must have God as omnipresence only because I am omnipresence. Thank you for sending in your letters. Thank you for helping with donations to keep the site up and running with all the Herb Fitch talks and all these talks. And thank you for walking together as one into this new consciousness, the new Jerusalem, the new consciousness of I.